And it is because of gentlemen like him and other call porters that I'm here today.
Amen.
I was living in a communal living home with six people as a result of a call porter coming and staying 8 hours. His very first visit was 8 hours. Five out of six of us were eventually baptized. And the gentleman who came to that house that day was very persistent. Although it looked like nobody was home, he just kept pursuing and knocking, and finally somebody showed up at the door. Later in the week, he kept coming back. And I believe it was 4 days later, it was his birthday. So he decided to bring his own birthday cake and say that to have dinner ready, that we're going to celebrate his birthday. So we definitely did. And as a result, I'm here today because of his perseverance and his love for sharing the gospel to others through literature. Our speaker today and his team that's sitting right here is Wesley White. And once again, he's the literature ministry director for the Hawaii Conference. Welcome, Wesley.
Happy Sabbath. It's good to see all of your smiling faces here today. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you. I love hearing stories like that one from Uncle Bob about how a co-porter came by and made a difference in their life. As he said, I'm the literature ministry director for this conference. I've really enjoyed my time here, and I thank God for it. I want to say a quick welcome to those of you that are visitors here, for the Youth Rush parents that are here, grandparents as well, thank you for being here. I want to say a quick welcome to our union treasurer, Ted Benson, and his wife, that they're here as well. Good to see you as well here. And we just thank God. We thank God because he is coming soon. Amen?
Amen.
I really believe that. We're living in a time of unrest, socially, politically, and such, and I believe that Christ is showing us that he is truly coming soon. Before we get into any message, or we're going to actually share the message through these young people here that are with me. We had about 28 young people knocking on doors on the islands of Hawaii this summer. And it was a great blessing. We had 11 students from HMA, the rest from the neighboring islands and such as well. And this summer, by God's grace, we were able to not only knock on doors here on Oahu, but we also went to all the neighboring islands. So that includes the Big Island, Maui, Lanai, Molokai, and Kauai as well. And the response that we found from the people was definitely inspiring and encouraging. People out there are seeking to know more about the Savior that we have. And it's our job to share that Savior with them. So this morning, I'm going to have my friends come up to the front here, and they're going to share with you a few short stories of what took place this summer in our backyard here in Hawaii. And it's definitely a blessing. We have all these students here, our students at HMA. Diamond, I believe you're a junior. Grazia's a sophomore. Alvin's a sophomore. And Timmy's a junior. Sophomore. So come on and share a few experiences here, what God has done.
All right, this was the last week of our canvassing program. We were in Kauai, and I come to this one door. Actually, the lady just pulls up in her garage, and I rush over there so I can talk to her. And I show her our vegan cookbook, and she's interested because in Kauai, on their cable station, they have 3ABN to watch, you know. So she's like, yeah, you know, I know about you, Adventist, and you know, your health message and everything. She liked it, so I showed her our other cookbook, and she said, yeah, I'll get both of them. I said, well, hold up. What church do you go to? And she said, I'm a Sunday school teacher. So I said, oh, okay. So I showed her all the kids' books that we had and all of the adult books, the Desire of Ages, Great Controversy, Christ Object Lesson, Steps to Christ, all of the books. And she ended up getting it all. And then she said, you know, there's this one guy on 3ABN. He's bald and he also talks about prophecy. I said, yeah, Doug Batchelor. And she said, yeah, him. And I said, well, you know what? In next month, which is actually next week, he's going to be in Kauai. And I invited her to go, and she said she'll go. So hopefully Amen. She'll one day become a Seventh-day Adventist.
Amen. Just so you know, let me point this side. Just so you know, the books that we have and we show to the people are books like The Great Controversy, Steps to Christ, Desire of Ages, Christ Object Lessons. We have several cookbooks, as you mentioned. We have the Amazing Health Cookbook and also Seven Secrets Cookbook that we share with the community. And then we have kids' books as well, similar to the Blue Bible Stories. How many of you, have seen those before, Blue Bible Stories or the Bedtime Stories? They're just smaller, condensed versions of those books as well. So when they talk about the books, those are kind of an idea of what we have. We also have three DVDs, the Amazing Facts DVD by Doug Batchelor, and two other DVDs on Daniel's prophecy. So, Alvin, come on and share with us.
My experience was here in Wahiwa. It was on our third week of campusing, and I came across this woman. Her name is Charlotte. I found out that she's been going to New Hope, and her husband died a few months ago, and she has a 10-year-old child, and that really pulled out. Our devotional set, which is Christ Object Lessons, Steps to Christ, and The Desire of Ages. And she was really pumped up about it because she was just doing her devotions before I came to her door. And that was really such a divine timing. And since she had a child, I showed her our children's set, which is Prince of Peace, Real Heroes, and Storytime. And she was really excited about these books. She said, "Oh, I'm definitely getting this children's set, but I don't know about these books." She kept on fumbling our DVDs and our books, and she asked me if this will help me and my child with our spiritual life. And I said, "Yes, of course it will help you." And she came across of getting all of our books, all of our DVDs, and which we call a dump bag.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Alvin. So she got all the books there. Praise God. And there's people out there. Oftentimes we meet people that have lost loved ones, like this young lady that had lost a husband and had a single mother now. And there's people that are seeking out for spiritual truth and spiritual enlightenment. And it's a blessing when someone comes by their door that gives them just what they need at that very time. And actually, Graziel's story illustrates that quite nicely for us.
My experience took place in Kauai. I was doing my regular canvas to this lady named Auntie Lydia, and she wasn't interested in any books. She rejected me at first, but then something impressed me to ask her what religion she was, and she said she was a Catholic. And then she asked me what religion I was, and I said I was a Seventh-day Adventist. And she stopped whatever she was doing, and she was super excited, so she invited me in. I was really confused what was happening, but I went in her house, and she told me about her husband, how he passed away last year, and that for 2 years she'd been watching 3BN, and she also been looking for our church. It was really a blessing that I actually met this lady, because she was was in my prayer. I was asking for an experience like this. And so she was interested. I showed her all the books because she was interested in the Second Coming, about Ellen G. White, and if the dead can speak to us. And she got the Great Controversy. She got the Final Events. She got the Peace Above Christ Object Lessons, and Desire of Ages, and also the Bible Answers. They're just telling her like all the answers she wants to know about the Bible and if the dead can speak to us. And so it was, and also she was she signed up for personal Bible studies. And the following Sabbath, we picked her up because we offered a ride to Sabbath. And she was already outside, standing by at her door, all ready for dress up for church. And it was really very exciting experience, very blessing to know that, like, her is looking for our church and knowing about Jesus.
Amen. Amen. It was amazing. You wonder, people out there, you see them in the grocery store, you see them out at the job, and you never know what's going on in their hearts, what they're seeking for. But this lady, Auntie Lydia, was just seeking to know more about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And she came to church. She was looking for people at church, like, "Oh, what's your name? What's your number? I want to study the Bible. Can you give me a ride to church next week?" Just very excited about receiving more information and more Bible truth. So we're really excited about that. Timmy. Come and share with us.
My story was on Big Island. Is in Kona. If you don't know, most of Kona is very hilly. So you're very fortunate if you're placed at the top of the hill. But unfortunately, I was placed at the bottom of the hill. So, anyways, I was going up, rejection after rejection. And in this one house, the door was already open. So I was like, good chance, definitely someone home. So I was like, knock, knock, hello. And a lady with two young children come out. And I open up with the cookbook, and I'm just talking to them about it. And then I asked, what do you think about it? And then she turns to her two young children and asks in Japanese, oh, what might this be? Why is this man here? And, of course, I speak Japanese. So I was like, in my mind, I was like, cha-ching, And I was like... So I started canvassing her in Japanese, and her jaw dropped, and she was really interested in the cookbook, and I proceeded to show her one of our children's book, and she was really interested in that too, and she was like, oh, how can I get these books? And I just said, a donation. I gave her a range and stuff like that. And her head kind of slumped, and I was like, uh-oh. She said, oh, we're going through a hard time right now. We just came from Japan and this and that. And I was like, oh, that's fine. I hope God will bless you. And I was able to leave her with a Japanese glow. And she was very thankful. And, I went my way. And later in the day, before we went to lunch, I met this one lady who had just come home, and she was checking her mail, and I was like, okay, I could definitely get something to her. And I was before I can actually open up and tell her about myself and what I'm doing, she was just like, you're not going to get anything out of me, or you're not going to give anything to me, but here's some money. Go give some books to someone else. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. And it turns out that I was praying that someone will give donations that I can cover books to give to the lady at the door before. So it was really nice that God provided extra donations that I was able to leave those two books at the Japanese lady's house.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Y'all can be seated. Thank you very much. I'm really proud of these young people. As they knock on doors, they get rejected, they get doors slammed in the face. They have dog experiences all of them could share, I'm sure. But God was able to use them in a mighty way this summer to bring truth-filled literature into many people's homes. And so I'm really proud of them, and I believe that the work that they've done this summer will be not only seen, the results will not only be seen now, but also in the near future as well by God's grace. So we're really thankful for that and for them. I'm just going to grab my Bible from this podium and move down to this one over here. In the short time that we have right now, I'm just going to open the Word of God. Do you have your Bibles this morning? Amen? We're going to be looking at some scriptures this morning. I hope you brought your Bible. Before we do that, let's go ahead and say a word of prayer here, and we'll get right into it. Dear Father in heaven, we are very grateful, Lord, for life. But more than that, Lord, we're grateful for the salvation that Christ has provided for us. Oh, Lord, how sweet is the grace and mercy that you have for us, dear Father. And we thank you that this morning we can reflect upon your goodness, reflect upon your grace, and, Lord, also reflect upon the fact that you're coming soon. Lord, we believe that you're soon coming to receive your children. Lord, now I pray that you'd make us ready, Father. Allow the Spirit of God to be in this place right here, right now. May you hide me behind the cross, that only Christ may be seen. We thank you, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. I really appreciated this morning the Sabbath school. I was sitting back there, and it was regarding changes that take place and regarding growth and things like that. I'm going through a decision in my life right now. I got a call to another conference to come and work, and thinking about changes was very interesting. And oftentimes we see that things change in society as well. How many of you have ever been or encountered a hurricane before? Anyone? A few hands. Hurricanes can be very disastrous, very dangerous things. They come and they leave a path of destruction in their way. But I heard from someone, where is the safest place in a hurricane? Where? In the eye. In the eye, in the middle of the hurricane, is oftentimes the safest place where you could be. Now, getting into the middle, I don't know how you're going to do that. But if you are in the middle, in the eye of the storm, that's where oftentimes it is the most calm. And I propose to you today that we are actually ourselves as a people in this time of Earth's history, we're living in what I might call the eye of the storm. What do I mean? Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And we're talking about being in the eye of some kind of storm. Revelation chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 1. Revelation chapter 7. Looking at verse 1. When you get there, you can just say, amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 7. Looking at verse 1. The Bible says there, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the what? The four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the tree or on the sea or on the earth or any trees. And verse 2 says, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. So stop right there. So in the first verse we see, no problem here. On the first verse, we see that there is a storm, or there's winds. And these four angels are doing what? They're holding back the winds. And if they were not holding back those winds would destroy whatever place they're talking about. So there's a storm happening, but angels sent by God are holding back these winds. Now, why are they holding back the winds? Till the job's done. Verse 2, look at verse 2. It says, I already read a part of it. It says, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Having the what? The seal. Having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till I have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So we see here that there's a time of waiting, a time of apparent a hold on the storm. And I feel like today we live in a time where we think business is as usual. Everything is fine. Everything is kind of relatively calm. Now we know there's things going on right now in Syria, right? And then there's decisions being made, or roars and rumors of wars are taking place. But here in Hawaii, in the United States, it doesn't seem like things are going crazy. There's no big problems. It's kind of like business as usual. And we don't realize that God is supernaturally holding things that could destroy this planet. And that we don't have very much time before he will come. The similar thing happened in the time of Noah. In the time of Noah, there was no signs in the skies. No signs on land, really, that were pointing to the destruction that Noah prophesied about. The one sign that was given was the animals walking in to that ark without any direction from any humans. But other than that, there was no special occurrences that would point to this destruction taking place. And I believe the same is going to be true of the end of time. Right before Christ comes, it's going to seem like it's business as usual. And even though these winds are being held, and God is saying to us, will you prepare during the time of the calm? When the winds are not blowing, will you share what I need to be shared now? Will you in your own life prepare yourself, looking onto Jesus and becoming more like him in character? So, once again, I want to ask you the question, what are these angels waiting for? Anyone can just shout it out. For the sealing of the servants of God, right? And where is that seal placed? On their forehead. Now, think about that. The seal of God is placed on the forehead of the people. Look with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. What is the seal going to have to do with? Ezekiel chapter 9. The middle of the Bible there, Ezekiel chapter 9. I love this here. Ezekiel 9, maybe a book you haven't gone to in a while, not generally preached from or read a lot, but Ezekiel chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 2. When you get there, you can say, I'm there. All right. Let's begin in verse 3. Now the glory of God, of the God of Israel, had gone from the cherub, up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the men clothed in linen, who had a writer's inkhorn in his hand. So what did this person have in his hand? A writer's inkhorn. Now what do you do with an inkhorn? What do you do with it? You write, obviously, right? You write with it. So this messenger has this writer's inkhorn in his hand. And what is he going to do with that writer's inkhorn? Verse 4. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a what? A mark on the what? Foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within it. So we see here this messenger or angel is going to the people there, and he's using that writer's inkhorn to mark the foreheads or seal those individuals who are sighing and crying because of the abominations that are taking place. And I propose to you that by God's grace, he's using what God wants to use in these last days. One of the major tools he will use in these last days to seal his people is the written word. Now, number one example of the written word is the what? The Bible, amen? The Bible. I believe God wants to use these means to save people's souls. And he's given us not only the Bible, but inspired writings as well that will change people's lives forever, amen? I believe it. I believe it. And I believe he's wanting to seal his people through his word. Why? The word of God is a reflection of who? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And the more we become in the Word and spend time in God's Word, we become more like Jesus. And the more people are reading these books and other books that have to do with Christ, like the books we present, they will be changed and transformed, just like Uncle Bob and his story. Oftentimes people say today, oh, what about, you know, people don't use books anymore. Who uses books these days? Right? I mean, come on, we have e-books, we have our iPhones, our iPads, our Nooks, right? Who uses regular paper books anymore these days? Well, I'll tell you what. I don't care how technological we get in this world, I believe books will always be used. Amen. And there's a time coming in our world, a time coming that's prophesied in the Word of God that says that there's going to be a banning of certain things, and there's going to be no buying or selling according to the mark of the beast, Revelation 14. We see that there will be times when we will be restricted in our ability to share the gospel. You know, they may be able to shut down the internet so we can't share the gospel over the internet anymore. They may be able to shut off our satellites that broadcast evangelism all across the world. They may be able to shut those down, those lines of media, but it's very much more hard. It's much harder to go into someone's home where a book is laying on the shelf and take that book away from someone who wants to receive the truth. Amen? In those times, when times get really hard, when times get really rough, and we don't have the ways that we have now of sharing the gospel, books will be a primary way of getting the gospel into these people's homes. We saw it during the times of the Reformation, and we'll see it again in our time as well. And God wants to use these means to share his gospel with others. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen? If you don't believe it, I wish I had more time to share. But I'm going to share a few stories with you just to illustrate how that is indeed a fact, I believe. In the Cole Porter work, we are planting seeds. Amen? Amen. Planting seeds of truth. And sometimes the seeds don't come up right away. There's a man who had his door knocked on one year by a student Cole Porter, and he rejected them, told him, oh, get out of my house. I don't want anything that you have. So the guy left, and the next year, they came by again. And the guy said, no, forget it. I don't want anything you have. Please leave my property. That was 2 years. The next year, on the third year, a person came by the door, and he's like, you know what? Let me take a look. He takes a look at the book. He gets actually a Final Events DVD that year. Watches it. Loves it. The next year, a co-porter comes again. This is 4 years now. And at that time, he's like, I love the great, or the DVD that I got. Do you have anything else? He gets a great controversy. Fifth year. How many years? Fifth year, another co-porter comes by. And when the co-porter comes by, he's like, where have you been? Why don't you guys come by more often? We love the books. I've read The Great Controversy 3 times. And I love it. This Ellen White person. Who's this Ellen White person? I want everything you have by Ellen White. Please. He starts throwing money out. Here. Just give me all the books you have. And he got all the books there. And the person that was there canvassing asked him, well, you know, you read The Great Controversy 3 times, right? So what about the Sabbath? He said, man. I work on the Sabbath. And she told him, you know what's true from the Word of God? It's time to live out those truths that you know. That next Sabbath, they're in church. Amen. With the co-porters there, and they continue going to church, and by God's grace, got baptized. Amen? Beloved, it may be difficult. It may be a long road to go, but I believe God wants to bring people into this truth through the Word of God. Amen? And through literature. He wants to do it. He definitely wants to do it. A young lady this past summer, actually, it was a very powerful story. She actually received a GLOW tract. How many of you know what GLOW is, by the way? Amen. A few hands there. These little tracts right here. This was the newest one. It's awesome. I love it. It's called What the World Needs Now. It's about righteousness by faith. Amazing tract. But anyway, she picked up a tract on Halloween night because they were doing GLOW in the dark. And she picked one up about Twilight. She read it. She was convicted. She loved Twilight, but she knew by reading that this is not right. She called the number on the back of the GLOW track. Actually, she emailed. And a person got the email. The next day, he was at her house. And said, I want to study the Bible with you. Would you like to study the Bible? Yes, I would. I read the track. I really want to study the Bible. Please. So she begins studying the Bible. And they study for a while. She goes to a series of meetings. When the appeal was made for baptism at the meeting, she walks out the door and doesn't get baptized. But the Bible worker goes after her and says, hey, please, come back. What about, I know you want to get baptized right now, but what about this thing called co-portering, literature evangelism, youth rush? What about that? And so she's a young person, of course, in her teens or early 20s, and she's like, I don't think it's going to work out. I can't do it. I don't think I can do it. I have a social worker, and I don't think that's going to be possible. Turns out, she gets an Adventist social worker 2 weeks before the program, and the Adventist says, yes, you can go and co-porter. Amen? Amen? Remember, she's not an Adventist yet. And she goes co-portering that summer, has a great experience. She has some rough times, some hard times, but she ends up, by God's grace, finishing the program, and on the last day of the program, I was there, she got baptized. Amen? Amen? And the first contact was what? First contact was a piece of literature that someone left somewhere. And now she's, not only was she baptized, but she shared hundreds of thousands, or at least thousands of books in that community where she was canvassing. Amen? From that one GLOW tract, it multiplied to thousands of books being given to people. Beloved, we can never estimate what God wants to do through our humble, simple efforts. He's coming soon, but he needs our help to get his work accomplished. Just a couple more stories here to share. I'm going to close. On the way over here from the mainland, I just came over a couple days ago. I was on the plane, and I got on the plane, and I sat next to this guy, and he looked very depressed. He looked kind of like just sad. And so I came down, I sat down next to him and said, hey, how you doing? My name's Wesley. Are you going home or are you, what's your deal? And he said, oh, yeah, I'm going, I used to live in Hawaii, but now I'm living in the mainland. And he gave me a spiel, a story. And as we talked, I handed him this GLOW track right here. And I was like, here you go. This is a really awesome track. I read it myself. It's awesome. I think you'll enjoy it. So I gave that one to him. And immediately, I just gave it to him and I said, I was minding my own business. He opened the tract up and he's looking at it. He's reading it. He takes out his iPhone, and he takes a picture of the tract. And he says, oh, man, this is great. And he sends the picture to some people on his phone, because he's enjoyed it so much. After he does that, he says, you know what, Wesley? I really enjoy this information here. What do you guys do? And so I told him what we do, and just to start opening up to him. Turns out that he's going through a difficult time in his life. His wife is, you know, it's kind of like an affair going on. Different things, you know, personal issues that are happening in his life. He's struggling. He's wanting to get back to God and to serve God and wanting to do more with Him. And I just praised the Lord. Amen? Because God knows where to put us, doesn't He? We pray. We got off the plane after a few hours of just talking and stuff. And we prayed together right there in the airport. And he's like, yes, thank you so much. I know that God brought you in my path, and I know that this literature is going to help me a lot. And I gave him some ways to get some more literature and stuff like that. But people everywhere are needing help, amen? Amen. They need it. They're desiring it. And we have it, amen? Hopefully. Who has it? Someone say amen if you have it. Amen. Oh, beloved, I'm telling you. We have what God wants to give to this world, and He's asking us, use the tools in your hands to do something for me. I'm coming soon. Don't be calm like everyone else. It's a time of urgency. Christ is soon to come. And we are the ones to give the message, just like John the Baptist. Amen. He heralded the first coming, and we are to herald the second coming, preparing the way for the Lord, making His path straight. Planting the seeds, beloved. It's sometimes discouraging planting seeds. I'm getting into gardening myself. I just started. Or I'm starting. And of course, when you plant a seed in the ground, all you want to do is see something come up, right? Like, oh, yes, there it is. And it starts to grow, and you water it and take care of it. But what happens when the seed doesn't come up? You know, there's this one seed that was planted in this major field, and he was planted the seed and watered it and cultivated it. And after a few months, nothing was coming up. And people are like, well, why did you plant the seed there? Nothing's coming up. A year goes by, and that seed's in the ground, but it has not come up yet. And the farmer, he's still watering it and still giving it nourishment, still weeding the area, and nothing is seeming to take place. Another year passes by, 2 years. Nothing has sprung up, no evidence of anything in the ground, but he keeps on watering, keeps on persisting, keeps on taking care of it and planting more seeds. 3 years goes by, 4 years goes by, 5 years go by, and nothing has popped out of the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was me, I would have given up a long time ago. Let me get some different seeds. These ones are defective, right? He kept on planting the seeds. Kept on planting the seeds. 6 years, nothing. Finally, the seventh year. It springs up, and it's bamboo. It springs up. And it springs up, not slowly, but it's almost like you can watch it as it grows. In just a few months, you have huge, tall bamboo that have come up so quickly and so fast. But what happened beforehand, while they were waiting, guess what was happening? The reason they could go so high and be so tall is why? Because the roots had gone so deep and so wide during that time period that now the bamboo could just shoot up high into the sky quickly. Beloved, that's what God's going to do with the literature that we and the seeds that we plant. You might not see the results of it right now. You might not see huge crops of baptisms right now, but I tell you what, that by God's grace, when the time is right, when those seeds have been watered and planted, they will come up, and we'll see a mighty harvest. She says in the evangelism, page 693, that soon 1,000 will be converted in one day, who will trace their first convictions to the reading of our publications. Soon, 1,000 will be converted in one day who will trace their first convictions to the reading of our publications. Amen? Beloved, God's calling us to do it. He's asking us to do it. And souls will be saved or lost by our decision to share what God's given to us. So my plea to you this morning, my plea that God has laid upon me is, will you take the hand of God and say, Lord, help me to be a soul seer. A seed sower. A seed sower. Help me to plant the seeds. It may be a little thing here, a little thing there, a little tract here, a little book here. It may be a little prayer here or a little smile there. But help me to plant these seeds of truth in people's lives and water them, that they may come up and spring up to everlasting life for those that need it the most. Amen? It's just the challenge that God's giving. You know, I believe with all my heart that God is soon to pour out His latter rain upon us. You know, I gotta share this quote with you guys. He is soon to do it, and in order for Him to pour out the Spirit of God, there has to be something that's been done beforehand, right? I mean, God's not just gonna pour out His Spirit on empty land. He has to pour out upon something that's been prepared already. Listen to this. Talking about this is in the Great Controversy on the chapter, the final warning. The what? The final warning. We're living in that time right now. She says, the message will be carried out not so much by argument, but by the deep conviction of the Spirit of God. The arguments have been presented beforehand. The seeds have been sown. And now it will spring up and bear fruit. The publications, the what? The publications printed and distributed by missionary workers have exerted their influence, and people will yield in obedience. Amen? In order for the Spirit of God to be poured out like that, the work must be done beforehand. And God's called us to do it. He's called us to pick up a glow track. Pick up a book. Make friends with your neighbors and share literature with them. They might not read it right now. They might not read it tomorrow. They might not read it 2 years from now. But at the right time, they'll pick up that book and they'll read it. And by God's grace, they'll come to know Christ better as a friend. I challenge you all, as we approach Christ's coming, as we approach the end of the world as we know it, that you in your own personal sphere of influence plant those seeds. Read them for yourselves. Read the Bible for yourself. Read it more. I need to do it too. Read our books more. People are getting more blessings from these things than ourselves. And God will bless you in a mighty way, and He'll bring more souls into His kingdom. Amen? I believe we have a closing hymn here. Before we sing the closing hymn, the hymn is called Bringing in the Sheaves. Amen? Amen. You want to bring in those sheaves? Amen? But in order to bring in the sheaves, we got to first plant the seeds. Let's turn in our hymnals to the book, or to the page number 369, Bringing in the Sheaves. We cannot wait for that time when you indeed bring in the sheaves, dear God. The seeds that have been planted will come to fruition. They will grow, and you will harvest them at your coming. We pray, Lord, that you would make us a part of those reapers, Father, that go out to gather, to plant, and then to gather, Lord, the seeds that have come up into growth and are bearing fruit. Lord, as we go from this place, allow us to be your hands and your feet. Allow us to be your laborers. We thank you for all that you do. We pray a blessing upon this church, upon this congregation, Lord. May we go out from here covered in the blood of Christ, covered in His righteousness. We thank you, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.